As we flip through the pages of the Bible, reading the words of Scripture, we have to remember that the words on those pages not only speak to our story, but they also have a story themselves. They have a past, a history, like those words from the prophet Joel, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female slaves. In those days, I will pour out my spirit." Now, perhaps those words transport us immediately to the day of Pentecost, where those words are quoted, because the Spirit comes rushing into the room like a violent wind, gathering people from all places and all languages, binding them together by something more and creating the church. But that is not where the story of those words begin. They begin in the world of the prophet Joel, where the people are reeling from an ongoing drought and an invasion of locusts that has decimated their crops, that they are worried about putting food on the table for their families. They are concerned about the future because not only did it destroy this year's crops, it prevented them from planting next year's, that they are sitting on the edge of disaster. So the story of those words begins in a story of struggle, and then they move towards hope. They paint this picture of God's new day of redemption, of what Jesus calls the kingdom of God, where all wrongs are made right, where all brokenness is made whole, where boundaries are broken down and the world is turned upside down, where what we have in common is more important than what can tear us apart, where sons and daughters, old and young, slave and free, are full of God's Spirit. It is a picture of shalom, that Hebrew word for God's peace. But first, these words begin in a story of struggle, the type of struggle that shapes our prayers. And our prayers have their own story as well, moving from struggle towards hope. And through those struggles, our prayers can become bigger. That we can begin by praying for what is right in front of us, but then we can start to notice those same struggles found in the lives of others, and it can stretch our prayers. It can stretch what we think we know about others and what we think we know about God, which is exactly what happens in that parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector. That on the one hand, you have this Pharisee who, in the eyes of the people, is well respected. That the Pharisee is an expert in Scripture, an expert in the Torah, and does well assisting and relating to everyday folk. They were devoted and they were devout. But then on the other hand, you have this tax collector who in the eyes of the people was despised because he worked for Rome, and Rome oppressed Israel. And not only that, when he went around knocking on the doors, taking up taxes, he was skimming a little bit off the top, taking up more taxes than was necessary, padding his own pockets. Well, both of them go to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee says, "I'm just glad I'm not like this tax collector." And the tax collector says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Well, in the eyes of the people, they would have assumed that God would stand on the side of the Pharisee. But then the Spirit goes to work, breaking down barriers and turning the world upside down. Because those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That Jesus stretches what the people thought they knew about others and what they thought they knew about God. Well, for one thing, the Pharisees stood apart, quite literally in this story. But more importantly, the name Pharisee means the one who is separated, which is both beneficial and dangerous. That whenever we stand apart because we are avoiding a compromising situation, it is beneficial. But if we are just standing apart because it's easier to do so, well, that is rather dangerous. Because we lose touch with this world and our prayers can remain small. Our prayers are our constant companion through our struggles. They are in many ways like a plane of place of glass where we look out the window to find God's presence around us. But if we look too close, right there at what is immediately in front of us, we just see the glass in front of us. We never see out to find God's presence at work. And prayer has been a constant companion of the people of God through struggle. It's like the prayer there at Mount Horeb where Moses is standing there barefoot in front of this burning bush. He had been keeping his father-in-law's sheep, but he was still running from his past. That he had left Egypt. He had grown up there on the side of the oppressor, but then he had lashed out, killing a taskmaster and fleeing for his safety because he was labeled a traitor. But standing there barefoot at this new beginning, he looked beyond the immediate concern in front of him. And the Spirit would send him back to say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And the Spirit would be poured out on son and daughter, old and young, free and slave. Or it's like that prayer at Bethlehem where Mary is pondering so much in her heart after Jesus is born that she was told she would give birth to a king, but not in the royal city of Jerusalem, but there in Bethlehem, a place with no power or prestige, a town full of peasants. But sitting there in that stable, looking beyond her immediate concerns, the Spirit would redefine the meaning of king. That Jesus would go on to proclaim, "The first will be last and the last will be first." That those who exalt themselves will be humbled and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It would turn the world upside down. Or perhaps it's like that prayer at Pentecost were the people of God gathered in the room, unsuspecting about what would happen next. That all of these people from all nations and different languages would be bound together by something more, that they would look beyond the immediate moment as the Spirit was poured out on all flesh. That prayer is the common link. As John Dalrymple reminds us, how prayer connects us to God and connects us to others. That we go from thinking that God is a part of our lives to realizing that we are a part of God's life. That prayer helps us see something more, that it's not just that God is a part of my life, that we are a part of God's life. And then the world and our prayers become bigger. That we can begin by praying for what is right in front of us. But then we notice how those same struggles are found in the lives of others, and we see beyond it. That our struggles are also the struggles of others. And when prayer begins to show us this, the Spirit of God can do what it has always done. It can break down boundaries. And it can turn this world upside down. Amen.